All right, great big good morning, Arizona homeowners. How y'all today? You're joining us in the outdoor hour of Rose Young House. Come on in. Let me give you a quick heads up first. If you're located in southern Arizona, particularly around the Tubac area or Green Valley, they've got a little home show going on down there at the Madera Clubhouse Ballroom. It's at Quail Creek, a Robeson Resort community. And that opens at 9 a.m., so you've got about an hour here to finish brushing your teeth, combing your hair, get rid of the bedhead, looking sharp, and go take a look at some of the neighborhood community vendors, realtors, and contractors that you can get to know right there at Madera Clubhouse at the Quail Creek community. It's a Robeson community. So go down there and check it out. 9 to 3 today.
It's 8 o'clock. We're in the outdoor hour talking landscape and lawns today. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U if you want to join the conversation. Kane's already on the line. He's got some worms that gotten on some bougainvilleas.
Okay.
He sprayed the bugs, and bougainvillea's dying now. So we're going to see if we can help him out. But before we get to Kane, our topic today, as Rosie's mentioned in the last hour, is we're talking going green. There's nothing in the landscape that that doesn't have at least some part green
in it. Pretty much everything about my business is being green. And you know what? The number one thing that you probably can do to be a little bit more energy efficient is plant some shade. And, you know, and I always kind of tell everybody, you know, everybody always wants to know when the best time to plant a tree is. And I always, you know, give them that answer. Well, it's 20 years ago. So there's no better time than right now to plant one. There is all kind of statistics out that the Arizona Nurse Association puts out about energy savings and a properly placed tree and maybe even a tree that might be kind of a solar passive type tree, something that might lose its leaves in the wintertime. We call those deciduous trees. And then leaf out in the summertime can save as much as 15% on your energy bills.
Shade in the summer and direct sunlight in the winter.
Exactly.
And did I mention this is Jeff today?
I don't know. Yeah.
Did I say that? Hi. Jeff Harper of Harper's Nursery, one of the Jays.
The better looking of the
better.
Two. Yeah.
Definitely the you got the tall gene of
family. I thought you were going to say you had the face for radio.
Oh, no. It seems like every time I see you, you've got to be a good 6 inches taller than your brother.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so, and you, at the nursery, you are the grafter. You're the seed magician.
Yeah, I'm kind of the horticulturist. I do a lot of the propagating and the starting of the plants that we grow down there at the nursery. Kind of run the retail end of it, where Jerry runs the landscaping end of it, and Jay's kind of the glue that kind of holds us all together. He keeps us from going out after one another, I think.
I hadn't heard that angle of it.
He's the smart one. Yeah.
Well, very good. Plant shade tree. What would be your favorite deciduous tree, or maybe like two or three off the top?
Well, Chinese elm is got to rank right up there as my number one tree. I'm starting to really fall in love with the Chinese pistache, especially the red push variety. There's not many trees here that show fall color, and that's one that just absolutely turns a crimson red color in the fall. Beautiful tree, very drought tolerant. Not very fast growing though. Not like the elm tree that I mentioned. Those are probably two of my favorite deciduous trees. You know, ash trees have been a longtime favorite for a lot of people as well. And then
just back to your red push.
Yep.
A lot of the trees that are sold here are coming out of California. The grafted fruit trees. As far as I know, there's nobody in Arizona that's doing or supplying those. But that was one thing I like about the red push.
It's
right out of Moran.
It's
Bernie's
down there in southern Arizona, yeah.
Putting them all together. I actually ran into him at the Arizona Community Tree Council's annual conference, and he had a handful of them that he had brought up for display. And I ended up buying them. I mean, they weren't even 5 gallon
right.
size, and they've been in the ground 2.5 years now, and they're probably like chest height, maybe about 4.5, 5 feet. My favorite thing is what you were saying, the color on them. You've got the green from last year and then the new red growth. And it's just a very The leaf size. I really like the leaf size.
Yeah, and it's just nothing like we have here in Arizona. I mean, you got to drive up the Colorado Trail or, you know, some places up north in that time of the year or leave the state altogether to find color like that. So it's rather breathtaking.
Let's get to Kane, who's called in, along with Howard and Joel lined up behind him, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Go ahead, Kane.
Hey, good morning, you
morning,
guys.
Kane.
Thank you. Thanks for being there for us. Hey, I have, I'll give you a little history. I have these big bougainvilleas. I have to be about maybe 9 feet. They're doing great. They had all these flowers on them. I see one morning a bunch of little black BBs on the ground. And, of course, I see a couple of these little green caterpillars, about an inch long, very skinny. So I get some insecticide, and you hook it to the hose. I hose them down real good. I get all these green caterpillars hanging down, bailing out. A week later, all the flowers fell off.
Okay.
And the little stems with the flowers all sticking out. It looks like, oh, my God, they're dying. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know if I did poison them, giving them too much, or you think they'll come back, or is it you have any ideas of
you know
how
what?
I can get the flowers back?
Yeah, they'll come back. You got to work really, really hard to kill a bougainvillea. They're probably one of the toughest, most resilient plants we got. There's no doubt in my mind that whatever you sprayed on the plant at that time is what knocked the flowers off. And those actually aren't the flowers, that's more of a bract. It's kind of like a poinsettia. That the actual leaf of a bougainvillea turns that color. The flower, you got to look way down inside all those bracts, and it's a little white, nondescript thing. But you're better off if to use a product called Thuricide or BT or Dipel. It's more of a biological worm spray. It won't kill any other critter other than a caterpillar. It acts as a stomach poisoning. When those caterpillars feed on it, they ingest this BT, this live bacteria, but biological bacteria, into their stomach, and it disrupts their stomach lining. They basically starve to death. And by the way, those little black BBs that you found there is the caterpillar scad. That's a good way. That's kind of how I go to hunt for things in the greenhouse, is that I look for that little black BB, that scad, then I know that I've got something bigger out there that I got to target and get rid of.
We appreciate the call. Is there any harm just leaving them there? Will the caterpillars eventually destroy the bougainvillea?
They will not. The caterpillars probably will not harm the bougainvillea at all. Especially, he said it was very large. It's gonna, they're just gonna outgrow any damage that the caterpillar can get on. But depending on what he may have else in the yard or by there or whatever, it just could be a good target pest for other plants in his yard.
Let's move to Apache Junction and bring Howard into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning,
Howard.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. I planted about 2 years ago a mesquite tree. I bought it in a nursery, and it was doing great. It had lovely colored leaves, and about a month ago, all the leaves pretty much fell. It's brown, but I do see some new growth. I don't know if I overwatered it or is the tree kind of going into its dormant stage now. It doesn't look good. It looks bare and brittle.
Well, mesquites will typically go into their dormant stage in the wintertime, but desert adapted plants will also go through a dormancy period in the summertime if there's lack of moisture, lack of water. That plant can survive a drought if it sheds and drops lots of its leaves, therefore it doesn't need as much water to survive. I doubt you could really overwater anything this time of the year. You can certainly keep something too wet and water, if you're watering every day and constantly watering, mesquites don't like to have their feet wet, we like to say. They like to dry out in between waterings, but that tree's really going to want a very long, deep soaking, once a week to once every 2 weeks this time of the year. you know, cut that back, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks in the spring and fall, and maybe basically once a month in the wintertime.
Okay.
So I run into this a lot with people that got the drip systems. They go, oh, it's not the watering. I got it on an automatic sprinkler system. It's not a drip system. I go, okay, well, how big is your emitter? Oh, it's a 2-gallon-hour emitter. And I go, well, how many of those you got on the tree? Well, there's one on each side of the tree. And I go, okay, how long are you watering that tree? And he goes, I'm watering it every day for 10 minutes. So I'm putting plenty of water on there. I go, let's back up a little bit. I just said we had a 1-gallon-hour emitter on there. You got two of them, and you're watering for 10 minutes. I mean, you know.
I can drink more water than that.
Exactly. I sweat more water than that. So long, deep soaking, several hours at a time. I mean, a mature tree, believe it or not, you know, a citrus tree or a mesquite tree, you know, goes through several hundred gallons of water a month. So.
And that's probably my only complaint with my irrigation timer.
Mm-hmm.
Is for the bigger trees, it only goes 6 hours.
Right.
You've got to do like back-to-back start times,
right,
in the summertime on the big trees. Just 6 hours on a drip system.
You know, it's,
even with a large emitter, still isn't a lot of water.
It's not a lot of water, no. And that's where you got to go and make sure you got plenty of emitters on that tree as well. Not just one on each side of that tree, but you know, as that tree grows, we kind of add more emitters too.
That's my next project. When I planted them all, I put three on each tree. Mm-hmm. 3 years later now, these trees are a lot bigger than that. So.
Yeah, and if you've got other vegetation out there too, if you've got some bushes that are in and around there underneath the canopy, that tree's kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul and taking water from those other plants as well. So,
we're with Jeff Harper of Harper's Nursery in the garden at 1-888-767-4348 or landscape or lawn, whatever. We'll take your questions. As long as it's outdoors, 1-888-767-4348.